Hallelujah. He entered once into the holy place. Those high priests had entered in and out for year after year after year with the blood of animals. When Jesus took his blood in, he went one time, and that accomplished it all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You'd like to turn in your scriptures to the Gospel of John chapter 3. Gospel of John chapter 3. This morning when folks were coming in and I was shaking hands, a couple or three babies in a row, I tried to get them to smile at me and they wouldn't smile. And I said, this is baby not smile day or something. And I think it's kind of spread to others. So here's what I'd like you to do. Would you stand all across the building and shake three or four folks' hand and try to get them to smile. Now, don't do like a baby, gitsy-gitsy goo, but try to get your neighbor to smile. If you're saved this morning, you have something to smile about. Praise God. Jesus and John. This morning I'm going to read several of the verses we'll be looking at today. And again, this type of series and preaching, we're trying to simply go through the scriptures and explain them. And it's a little different type, but we're going to get the Word of God if we'll have our hearts and our ears open. And so here we go. Chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. What's that, born of water? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Here's a marvelous truth in a small statement. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7 will also be our target this morning. Jesus says, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You're born again, born by the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? How can you be born again? How can you be born of the Spirit? I want to simply preach this morning on you must be born again. We're going to pray, but you might have heard years ago a man was holding a special meeting, and every night he preached from this text with this title, You Must Be Born Again. And after the third night, someone said, Why are you preaching that every night? And the preacher simply answered, Because you must be born again. Would you pray with me and for me? Just stretch forth a hand my way and pray, God, to give me strength. Would you do that? Amen. Pray, church. Father, we want to hear from heaven. We want your word, God, to speak to us, to speak to your people. Lord, we want to hear your voice. We want to know your touch. Lord, in this communion service, make our experience of being born again real all over. Again to our hearts and to our lives in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Amen. It's also good to have Sarah's sister-in-law, Kenzie, and her children with us this morning. Amen. There was a man that came to our church for some time, and he would have claimed to be a believer, a Christian. And at the time that he attended, and since, I've told my wife, I don't even think he was born again. And you say, well, Pastor, how could you say that? Isn't that being judgmental? How could you know that? Well, I based what I said on this simple thing. When I would talk to him personally, he never showed any interest in spiritual things. We talked about world events. He never gave any evidence of having spiritual values. And when he would reason about things, there would be no reasoning from scriptural principle. He would only reason for things like vengeance and violence. And you know, in spite of the protest, it was evident that he was no different from those who don't claim to be born again. You see where we're headed to be. If you're born again, you have a different nature. You have a different perception. You have different values. But here's the sobering reality this morning, and we don't want to think about it, but do you realize that there are many who have gone to church all their lives? They have sung the songs in the hymnal. They have sat through the sermons. They bow their heads in prayer, but they have never been born again. You see, how can I say that? Because Nicodemus is an example of such a person. A religious man, he went to church, he sang the songs, he prayed, but he was never born again. How many would remember that this message of being born again used to be the main message of evangelical churches, whether Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal? If you didn't have to go very many times that you would hear the message, you must be born again. There's been a huge shift in American Christianity, and a part of that is you no longer hear the emphasis of being born again. Now, I'm going to jump way ahead in the message, but you see, the message of being born again is the message of being transformed, of having a new nature created and made within your heart. It's a dying message, and yet it was Jesus' message. Jesus cuts to the chase. He unequivocally declares, if a person is not born again, he cannot enter heaven. If a person is not born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And to be born again is to be changed. Hallelujah. How many knows that when you came to know the Lord, you were changed? A difference was made. So let's look at these verses. Jesus sees the untransformed heart. Now, I might have seemed judgmental with that fellow, and I may get it wrong sometime, but let me tell you about something about Jesus. He knows exactly who's born again and who isn't born again because he sees the heart. Now, before I show you this, I want to remind you of something, that when the Bible was originally written, there were not chapter divisions and there were not verse divisions. And I have to tell you that because we're going to go back to chapter 2 for just a moment, because Jesus, as that chapter is ending, he made two statements. Look at verse 24. Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all people. He knew all men. In other words, there's a bunch of people there at Jerusalem, and they're saying, oh, we believe in you. You work miracles. We believe in you. And Jesus did not accept their statements about him. Jesus did not accept their claims about them. They said they believe, but Jesus did not accept that because he knew their hearts. He knew it was just sensation. He knew it was just emotion. And they say, we believe in you. You're going to be our Lord. But he knew it wasn't true. So he did not accept their claims of him. Look at the next statement, verse 25. Here's why he didn't accept it. Because he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Or in our language today, he knew what was in a person. He knew their hearts were not changed. For all their verbiage, for all their emotion, for all their saying they believed in him, he knew the inside and knew it was no different. Now you've got to take this, before we move here, you've got to take this. Jesus knew what was in man. Forget the chapter divisions, go to verse 1. He knew what was in man, and there was a man of the Pharisees. Do you see the connection? Jesus knew what was in man, so when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he knew what was in that man, Nicodemus. It's not a general statement. Jesus knows humanity. Call your name, and Jesus knows what's in you. Jesus knows what's in me. That is a connection. Nicodemus, an example of one of those folks of chapter 2. But Jesus knew his inside. Jesus knew that though he was religious and believed in Jesus' miracles, he had not been transform. Why? Jesus sees behind the facade. Jesus sees beneath the veneer. Jesus sees inside the head. Jesus sees inside the heart. He knows the inside of a person. And I've got to stop to say, amen, you can either be condemned by that, or you can take consolation, because whatever's going on in your head this morning, Jesus knows. Whatever's going on in your heart this morning, Jesus knows. He knows the inside. I'm limited. I only see the outside of this congregation. Jesus knows no such limitations. He knows the inside. Look at verse 2. This Nicodemus, the same, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, look at all this spiritual stuff. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him. He came to Jesus by night. We often miss this. We miss it. I've heard many times he came to Jesus by night because he was embarrassed to be seen coming to Jesus. And you know, here's the reason why. Nicodemus was a rich man. Nicodemus has, as it were, a doctorate in theology. And this doctorate, rich doctor of theology, is going to come to a poor carpenter for spiritual advice? For spiritual guidance. And so most of the time it said Jesus came by night, or excuse me, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because he was embarrassed to be seen coming to Jesus. I don't think that's true. Here's why. One little word there. He said, Rabbi, this is what Nicodemus said, we know. Nicodemus didn't come by himself. He came with his entourage of followers and or colleagues, because he didn't say, Lord, I know you're a teacher. But when he came to Jesus by night, he said, we know. So he came by night. John did not add that to say that Nicodemus was embarrassed. Here's why John added that. Because the state of Nicodemus' heart and mind, for all his religious teaching, for all his religious knowledge, amen, the state of Nicodemus' heart and mind was like the night. Because all through the Gospel of John, night stands for moral darkness, mental darkness, spiritual darkness. Amen. Nicodemus came by night because that was the state of his soul. That was the state of his mind. Amen. I'm here to say this morning, however good your life goes, you may be rich like Nicodemus, however much scripture you know, you may be well versed in the Bible as Nicodemus, however well you know religious things, whatever religious exercises you're involved in, amen, however many times you go to church, if you've not been born again, for you it's night. It's night in your mind. It's night in your heart. It's night in your soul. Amen. You've got to understand where we're headed. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, but Jesus is the light of the world, and he that followeth me, he said, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Are you at night tonight? Is it night in your mind? Have you not been born again? Amen. Nicodemus wasn't understanding about Jesus. He didn't get it because he hadn't been born again. Amen. But Nicodemus understood one thing. I want you to get this. Another one word, rabbi. Here Nicodemus is a doctrine of theology, a teacher of Israel, a member of the Sanhedrin, rich, and yet he says to a poor carpenter, rabbi. That's a term of respect. That's a term of reverence. In other words, Nicodemus knew he needed help, and he came to Jesus to get it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know, if you got questions, if you know you need something, just have Nicodemus's attitude. Whomever I am, wherever I'm at in life, I know that man Jesus has what I need, and I'm going to come to him to get it. Rabbi, Master, Lord, King, God Almighty, Son of God, Son of Man. And then this morning, Jesus declares that only a transformed heart is a saved heart. Look what he says in verse 3. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus is unimpressed by Nicodemus's credentials. He's unimpressed by Nicodemus's declaration that he knew who Jesus was, that he believed the miracles. Unimpressed by that, Jesus simply jumps to this. Nicodemus says, Lord, you're great, you're of God, you work miracles. And Jesus cuts to the chase and says, wait a minute. Unless you've had a transformed heart, you're not even saved. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, Nicodemus, for all your religiosity, you're not going to make it into the kingdom. You're not going to be a part of the kingdom. You see, the Jews of that time, they understood the kingdom of God to be that end time kingdom on earth where their Messiah ruled and reigned over the inhabitants of earth. They also believed that being Jews, if they followed that Messiah king, even if they were dead, they would resurrect and have eternal life. They would rule with that Messiah. But Jesus wipes all that away, and he says, Nicodemus, in spite of your titles and your tithes, in spite of your knowledge, in spite of your religious activity, you're not going to be a part of that kingdom when it's set up on earth. Why, Nicodemus? It's because your heart's never being transformed. I don't mean to be facetious, but somebody protests and they say, but I go to church. So does the devil. How many's ever been there when the devil showed up to church? Even it's not going to church. You say, well, I've been emotional in a service. They get emotional at a ball game or at a bar. It's not emotion. It's not just coming to the house of God, Nicodemus. You've done all those things. No, Nicodemus, being saved is having your heart change. It's having your mind transform. It's getting new, different desires, different values, different hungers of heart. Amen. Nothing's changed since that day. Only the born again will be a part of the kingdom. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Good question. How can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? This is going to be rich if we'll follow this for just a moment. Nicodemus is showing the spiritual darkness that he's in. And he says something ludicrous. He says, born again, huh? How am I going to climb into my mother's womb again? I mean, his mother is probably dead. Listen, we've read this so much we don't realize how silly he was sounding. Born again, Jesus, how am I going to get back into my mother's womb and be birthed a second time? Amen. Nicodemus is showing his spiritual darkness. Jesus is talking about spiritual matters, but Nicodemus purposely takes Jesus' statement back into the realm of the natural and the biological and comes up with a ludicrous example of the second birth. You know why Nicodemus is being so ridiculous? And I don't know if that's ever been said of him before, and I'm not trying to be too hard on him, but you know why Nicodemus was being so ridiculous? It's because he probably was getting it. And he's trying to divert the attention. How can I enter the second time into my mother's womb? He's acting like what Jesus is saying is silly. But Jesus is revealing a great truth. Listen to this. This is important to get this. Even though there will be a physical kingdom in the end time, even though he will rule from the throne in Jerusalem in the end time, because he was king, you didn't have to wait to the end time for the kingdom to come. Because wherever the king is, the kingdom is already there. And you don't have to wait till you're resurrected to rule with him and be a part of the kingdom. If you will believe and be born again, you can be a part of the kingdom right here, right now. That's what Jesus is saying. And so he tells Nicodemus this. And Nicodemus is a Jew who feels like it's a given that if you're a Jew, you're a part of the kingdom. You've got to understand that we can't. Nicodemus had this assumption, every Jew did. If I'm a Jew, I'm a part of the kingdom. Come on, we got to get this. Even Nicodemus is thinking, I'm a Jew, therefore I am a part of the kingdom. And Jesus turns that on its head and say, you may be a Jew, but you're not a part of the kingdom until you've been born again. And thank God for that, because we weren't Jews, if that was the qualification. We were Gentiles, but by virtue of being born again, we are a part of the kingdom of God. Oh, can you worship him for a moment? Nicodemus said, I'm a Pharisee, I'm a Jew, I'm a member of the Sanhedrin. And Jesus said, you're still not part of the kingdom. Listen this morning. You cannot assume because your parents are going to heaven, you're going to heaven. You can't assume because you know spiritual truth, you're going to heaven. I've heard people tell me that. As lost can be. And they'll look at me and say, well, I believe in Jesus. James says the demons believe and tremble. It's not knowing spiritual truth. You cannot assume because you go to church that you will go to heaven, because only those that are born again are a part of the kingdom. How many's a part of the kingdom this morning? That means you've been born again. Oh, let's look just briefly at that born again. Born again. What a wonderful imagery. What a wonderful picture. You see, Jesus uses born again because to be born physically, amen, results in physical life. I said to be born physically results in physical life. And to be born again or born spiritually results in spiritual life. Oh, that's what it's about. To be born again, I've got new life within me. Hallelujah. I've got a life with different values, different intents, different desires, different aspirations. Amen. Being born again, spiritual life. But then he says something else so important here. Not just the word born, but born again. And you can't see this, but just take my word for it for a moment. If you would look in the Greek New Testament, the word for again is sometimes translated again and sometimes translated from above. Sometimes again and from above. Why is that in this passage important? Because to be born again is not a work of something from the earth. To be born again is a work of something from heaven itself. It's from above. When you get born again, you don't just sign the church roll. You're not just dipped in water. To be born again is to have something come from heaven, something come from above, and enter your heart and change your nature. It's not just something. It's the Holy Spirit. We are born of the Spirit. Nothing man can do can make that change. I just want to pause to say the wonder of all this that I'm preaching isn't that we must be born again. The wonder of it is that we can be born again. A person can be twisted. A person can even be perverted. A person can be all mixed up. A person can be as far from God as you can imagine. And the message isn't just you must be born again. The message is you can be born again. Born again, you'll become a new creation. And all things are, oh, can you say amen this morning? And then let's look. because Jesus reveals the source of the transformed heart. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Jesus said, we must be born by means of water and of the Spirit. Now, there's a great debate, and I'm not going to get into the particulars, but I just want to let you know what the debate is. You notice I paused when I read this and said, what is that water? Most people would have instinctively replied, well, that's talking about baptism. But not only would no one there, including Nicodemus, have understood Jesus to be speaking of baptism, the point is, if you read Scripture closely, regardless of what friends in other church say, baptism is never the means of our new life. Baptism is always simply a testimony or an evidence of our new life. The water does not save you. And then there's another possibility, since Nicodemus wanted to bring this into the world of nature and say, well, can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb? And this is very discreet, but some have suggested that what Jesus was saying, the first time you're born, how does that happen? When a human is born, that birth is attended with the release of the amniotic fluid, the water. Every expectant woman that has given birth has used that terminology of the water. And some say that's what Nicodemus said, can you enter the second time into your mother's womb? And Jesus said, yes, you'll be born of water, but that's not enough. You've got to be born of the Spirit. And though that's a popular understanding of this passage, probably not, because people of that time wouldn't have understood Jesus making that connection with the expectancy and the first birth. So what did Jesus mean by water? Amen. Now here's the thing I'm going to preface it with. For all Nicodemus acting like he didn't understand what Jesus was saying, Nicodemus, as a teacher of the Old Testament, he knew exactly what Jesus meant by water and by Spirit. If you'll let me explain this to you, it can be a blessing. If you read the Old Testament prophets and they spoke of the coming of the age of the Messiah, they used this language, especially Isaiah. He said, when the Messiah comes, he will pour water upon the dry ground. When the Messiah comes, he will pour water upon those that are thirsty. And whenever water is used in the Old Testament in relationship to the heart, that water referred to a cleansing and a renewing and the giving of a new heart. Amen. And so Jesus was saying, except a man be born of water, the word and means also even, except he be born of the water, even of the Spirit. Nicodemus knew what he was saying, because at the coming of the Messiah, the water stood for Spirit. It's the Spirit that washes. It's the Spirit that makes us new creations. Nicodemus knew that. Let's bring that all together with these verses from Ezekiel. Look what he says about the water. Then, this is the age when the king comes in the kingdom. I'll sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Listen, this ought to excite us. With that cleansing of water, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit with you, within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Do you see the connection? I'll wash you with water and put my spirit within you and give you a new heart. Nicodemus knew that this is what Jesus was saying. I am the Messiah. Jesus is saying, because I am the Messiah, I'll pour water upon you and wash you. And with that water of the Spirit, I'll take out the stony heart and I'll give you a heart of flesh. If he's done that for you, you ought to rejoice. rejoice in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You see, I don't make the connection between water and the change. Let me tell you, even today, if you've been really filthy and you go take a shower, when you come out clean, you see, I feel like a new man. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm telling you, if you've ever been washed by the water of the Spirit, you are a new person. You've been born again. Then Jesus gives evidence for the transformed heart. He says in verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. The word born simply means generate. It's the word we get generations from. These are the generations of Abraham. These are the generations of Isaac. In other words, these are the descendants of Abraham. Here's the point. A descendant of a man bears the likeness of that man. To be born or generated is to bear the likeness. Amen. We even speak of our iPhones and we talk about different generations. They may be a different size and a little different, but in the end, they've got the same kind of operating system. They've got the mark of being an iPhone, but there's different generations. The point is, Jesus saying, like generates like. Like gives birth to like. We're at that new taco place, Our Taco, Andrew and I, sometime this week or last week, I can't remember. And that lady took his order first, and she looks at him and looks at me, and she told him, much to his delight and appreciation, she says, you look just like your dad. When you're born again, you get the nature of God. He produces his likeness in your heart. Verse 12 of chapter 1 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Get this, which were born not of blood of a human, not of the will of flesh of a man, not of the will of man, but they're born of God. When you're born of God, you got the nature of God. Even if you was born of a reptile, you'd have a reptile's nature. If you're born of a bird, you have a bird's nature. If you're born of a human, I trust that's true, you got a human nature. But when you're born of the Spirit, you'll have the Spirit's nature. What he desires, you'll desire. What he values, you'll value. What he loves, you'll love. Because you've been born of him and you have his nature. I know the language, all this about new beginning. That's good and well. You hear it a lot in churches. He's the God of the new beginning. What you need is a new beginning. That's all good and well. But we really don't need a new beginning. We need a new nature. If you get a new nature, you'll have a new beginning. Amen. The old expression was, turn over a new leaf. That's all good and well. We don't need to just turn over a new leaf. We need a new nature. The question this morning is, does your life, does my life show that we have the nature of the Spirit? Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Jesus tells Nicodemus he shouldn't be surprised at what he's saying. That's why Jesus says, marvel not. Nicodemus, don't act surprised with what I'm telling you. You really know what the Scripture says. And you know that when the kingdom comes, that God is going to change the hearts of those that are with him. You know, here's one thing we can do when we approach Scripture like this. We can point out things that seemingly are so small, but they're so important. Do you notice that Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, but he doesn't say you must be born again? He says what? Ye. And Oki and Kentuckian and other languages, ye means y'all. He's not just talking to Nicodemus when he says you must be born again. He's talking to Nicodemus and his followers and whoever was listening and those that lived in the century 200 and those that lived in the 1500 and those that lived in the 1789 and those that live in September the 3rd, 2017. He was talking to us. Ye must be born again. Oh God, forgive us. when we live in a time when Christianity has become about a good self-image and making it popular and making it rich. The message still today is you must be born again to be a part of that kingdom. And then Jesus says something very important. He takes it beyond just birth, and he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now the Spirit's been likened to water. Now the Spirit's likened to wind. And by the way, in the Bible they use the same Greek word and even Hebrew word for wind and spirit. I can't ever read this passage without thinking of Sister Brock, because you let just a little bitty breeze of the Holy Spirit begin to move. And just like leaves on the top of a tree beginning to move, her hands would begin to move. But see, here's about the thing about when you can't see it. You can see the effects of wind, but you can't see the wind. I'll tell you something else. For all the meteorological research, they don't really understand wind. You may think they do, but they don't. And for sure, you can't see it. You can't really understand it. But I want to tell you one thing. You cannot control it. If you think you can, where were you last week when Harvey was developing out in the Caribbean? And I'm telling you, when the Spirit decides to blow, you may not be able to see it, but you can't stop it either. It doesn't matter if there's a young man sitting over here. His family don't serve God. His family doesn't know about God. Amen. Everything's against him and his environment and his life. That doesn't matter. If the spirit wind decides to blow over here and talk to him about his soul and to change his life, nobody, even Satan, cannot control the wind of the Holy Spirit. How many remembers a day when the wind decided to blow over your heart, blow over your understanding? You were born again. Oh, thank God. You may not understand it. You may not can control it, but it works. Hallelujah. There's only one thing you can do about the wind. If you're outside and the wind's blowing, you can come in the house to get away from it. And there's only one thing you can do about the wind of the Holy Spirit, and that is to flee from it and get away from it and find you a place where he's not moving and working upon your heart. Oh, I'm so thankful for the wind of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. He may want to save somebody this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Nicodemus knew this. When he talked, Jesus talked about water, Nicodemus thought Ezekiel 36, I'll wash you with water and give you. But when Jesus began to talk about wind, Nicodemus knew that Jesus was talking about Ezekiel 37. Amen. Defeat of a battle. I think we got a picture. Defeat of a battle. Bleached bones. No life. Hope is all gone. But the Bible says that Ezekiel prophesied to the wind, and the wind began to blow, and this bone came connected to that bone until there's a standing army of skeletons. And then God put flesh on them, and the wind blew, and they became living people, a mighty army. Nicodemus knew the wind is a restorer. He's the one that gives life. That's what it is to be born again. Oh, would you like the wind to blow this morning? Those that work, amen, with our children should never give up hope that the wind would come blowing through a Wednesday night class or a Sunday morning Sunday school or a Sunday morning communion service and save somebody right there. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. I'll tell you one thing. If Sister Brock were here, she'd be shouting right now. I promise you, she knew the wind of the Spirit. And you do too if you've been born again. Last of all, Jesus rebukes the questioning of the possibility of a transformed heart. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? I could spend a lot of time on this, but I'm going to spend about 30 seconds. How can these things be? Nicodemus questions how the new birth could ever happen to him or to anyone else. How can this be? Here it is. I'm bringing it down very simple. Nicodemus would rather question than to believe and experience. And we have the same situation today. There's a lot of people who would rather not believe and question rather than believe and experience. Instead of Nicodemus saying, "How can this be?" Nicodemus should have been saying, "Lord, can I be next?" And many times, by the way, and I don't have time to get into this, by the way, we're not taking a leap in the dark when we believe in Jesus. There's substantial evidence to believe. But people today, tell me this isn't true in the schools. Tell me, young people, it's not true in the schools. It's even true in the churches. It's true with the people where they'd rather try to question everything rather than just to believe. Let me tell you, let me give you a little help this morning. Don't say, "I've got to understand in order that I might believe." Say that "I must believe in order that I can understand." There came a day Nicodemus believed. He's at the garden tomb wrapping the body of Jesus. There came a day Nicodemus believed. And I guarantee you, he had experienced. Amen. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to them, "Art thou a teacher of Israel and knowest not these things?" Nicodemus, you ought to get this, especially since I'm explaining it to you. Nicodemus, you know the scriptures. This is a hint that Nicodemus didn't want to understand. Verse 11, Jesus goes on to say, "Verily, verily, I say to you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" This is a very hard thing to understand, but basically Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, if I've told you how to get into the kingdom on earth, and I've explained to you how it works on earth, and you don't get it, and you refuse to understand, what good would it do if I tried to explain to you how things work in heaven? Let me give you this one illustration. I've known people who are not born again, and all they want to talk about is, who is the Antichrist? What's Revelation about? When's Jesus going to come? Look, if you don't understand new birth, you're not going to understand those kind of things either. Amen. People want to get real deep and they're still lost. Oh, hallelujah. Not that when you're born again, you understand everything about the end. That may not be. But if you're born again, you'll trust God about it. You'll believe about it. Would you come, music? Hallelujah. Whenever I look at this passage, I cannot help but think about metamorphosis, the process. And I think about a time when Andrew was small and he went out to the garden about this time of year, and it got that big old green worm, we'll just call it worm, caterpillar, whatever you want to call it, larva. He went and he got it, got a jar, put it in the jar, put the lid on it, poked some holes in it, put some grass in it. And I was wrong. I thought since it was still a worm, a larva, it would take several weeks. But he was at school, and Sandra was in one part of the house, so I was in the other, and she hollered, "Come here, you got to see this." And there was no longer an old caterpillar encased within that dark shell of the pupa, but there was that beautiful monarch in that glass, spreading its wings, gaining strength in its wings. Amen. Later we released that monarch butterfly. It went flying out with all its beauty. I want to tell you, for all the world boast, if you're not born again, amen, not only are you like a worm, you're in a hard shell of your life, and inside that shell is darkness and discouragement and disappointment. But let me tell you what the new birth is. The new birth is when the Spirit moves in your heart. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the shell of darkness is broken, and you have a new life that has ever been a new appearance, as a butterfly does to a larva. And you will know that there's been a transformation. We just covered in chapter 2 when Jesus changed the water to wine. Let me tell you, a greater miracle of Jesus in turning water to wine is to turn a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. It's to turn a lost heart into a saved heart. Oh, hallelujah. If you've experienced that, you've experienced the greatest miracle of all. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the transformed life. We thank you for victory from sin and purity within, the power of transformation. Lord, not only did you wash our sins away, you changed our desires. You changed the intent of our hearts. Lord, we come to your table. Bless our time together. Help these truths that have been spoken today to ring in our hearts again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Servers, would you come?
Fight when fear tries to grip me, and I feel alone. Jesus is with me, oh, I'm not on my own. And now I can say in my heart, I believe my life has been changed because of Calvary. Cross where Jesus died, he shed his blood, gave his life for you and I. My sins erased, no longer lost, my debt is paid, I am saved. Oh, the cross. For love, it wouldn't go away. I was desperate and searching, broken by pain, looking for answers, but nothing seemed right. Where was my answer? What was my blinded by sin, I was lost, couldn't see, until I turned my eyes to Calvary. Oh, the cross where Jesus died, he shed his blood, gave his life for you and I. My sins erased, no longer lost, my debt was paid, I am saved. Oh, the cross.
Praise the Lord. Listen, there's nothing is more helpful, more hopeful, more healing than the impartation of the presence of Jesus Christ through his crucified and resurrected self. There are many, many needs here this morning. There are struggles. There are hearts hurting. There's confusions. There's sickness. And I want us to believe that this will not be an empty ritual this morning, but believing through his crucified, resurrected self, there is hope. There is healing. Amen. There is help. Would you stand across this building? Make it a personal thing. Brother Scott, share it. Would you ask the blessing on the bread this morning? Amen. Let's partake of the bread together. Oh, Jesus. Won't you let the Holy Spirit sweep over our hearts? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Casada, would you ask the blessing on the cup? Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Stop for half a second. Amen. Somewhere there's been a failure, sin, whatever, and you've already asked the Lord to forgive you, but as we partake of this cup, I want you to believe that his forgiveness is real. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Could we partake together? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you pray this prayer? Wind of the Holy Spirit, pass over my heart. Would you pray it? Wind of the Holy Spirit, pass over my heart. Give me new life. Give me new heart. Give me new desire. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, bless your name. Bless your name. Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord. You have risen from the dead, and you are Lord. Oh, amazing grace. Perhaps in song, not a greater testimony of being born again. Let's sing it, Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. Let's sing that again. If you're born again, thank God for it. Thank God that you've been born again. Amazing grace,
how sweet the sound that saved.
Oh, a wretch like me. Let's just sing praise God. What a wonderful work. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
I've been changed.
Praise God. Praise God.
Oh, praise God. The born again are going to enter the kingdom when we've been there 10,000 years.
When we,
if you're here and you don't know the Lord Christ, if you've not been born again, but the Spirit has touched your heart this morning, I want to encourage you to come to these steps and use as an altar. People will pray with you. This morning the Holy Spirit's passing over your heart. Would you come? Hallelujah.
To sing God's praise. Then with ours begin.
If you're born again, would you thank Christ for bringing that work into your heart? He didn't just change the water into wine. He changed your heart. Hallelujah. 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 You changed me, Lord. You changed my life. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We share this table. We share the same Lord, the same faith, the same baptism. But we share a love one for another. Would you greet your brothers and sisters and express your love to them? Don't leave without letting them know that you love them this morning. Amen. Would you greet one another? Hallelujah.